This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Hello, football fans, and welcome to The Onside Kick. My name is Ricky Widmer, and as always, I'm joined by the Mark Weber.
Dub them E's.
And Mark, after a brief hiatus, we took a week off.
I don't know if that counts as a hiatus.
We took a vacation. A little break of vacation, mid-preview vacation.
A vacation of we were both kind of busy.
Yeah, we were really busy. Mark, you had...
I was at a conference.
You were out of town at a conference.
It was fun stuff.
But we're going to continue our previews.
I almost got killed by a tornado.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Was it really that bad of weather?
For those of you who
you
don't...
You said it was hot.
I said it was hot there, and it was, because I was in an area where there was no... All the air conditioning was broken.
Yeah.
And that's good. Except for the main building was really cold. Everything else was really hot. But in Illinois, where we are, I was in central Illinois, there was tornadoes.
So that's where tornadoes happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like
Tornado
up here
Valley.
In Chicago. I mean, where you are, tornadoes may...
They can happen. They can. It's
but
possible.
Really, as you get closer to like where I am by the city, they don't. Like tornado warning, I go, whatever.
Yeah, and we had where we were at, I was at a bar at this point, and they just piled everyone in the back like, all right, go over there because there's no windows over there. And everyone's just like, well, this sucks. But no, literally, where we
Mark's
were.
Mark's standing next to a girl. Hi, nice to meet
you.
Hey,
nice to meet you. I'm Mark. If you're scared, I'm a big strapping gentleman.
Hashtag good guy Mark.
Yeah, that's true. So in our town that we were in, the tornado was headed in that direction because like the actual tornado, there's a tornado on the ground. And then it decided we're going to start going south and just went right past us. It was great. So I almost died. I'm a survivor.
Well, great for you. You didn't almost die.
Well, I mean, it was headed in my direction for a little bit.
But we're going to continue our... I'm glad you're alive, by the way.
Me too.
Because I can't continue the Onside Kick without you.
Well, guys, Mark, each week you got eaten up by a tornado.
Each week it would just be me talking to an empty chair.
What do you think, Mark?
Just silence. A bunch of cricket sounds. But we're continuing our preview. We have... NFC North? NFC South.
Nope, South.
NFC South this week. Man, week off and I'm forgetting things already. And this division to me, let's start at the bottom. We got to start at the bottom, then we'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to highlight some of their free agency, they get George Johnson from the Lions, restricted free agent. They get Bruce Carter from Dallas, unrestricted. They lose guys like Adrian Claiborne. They cut Anthony Collins. They lose Michael Johnson to the Bengals. They lose Josh McCown to the Browns.
Yeah.
But most importantly, they're going to win the Super Bowl. You want to know why?
They got Chris Conte.
They got Chris Conte. They got where I was going.
They got the defense taken care of.
They got the defense, 2015 Defensive Player of the Year in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
In the league. Defensive Player of the Year down pat.
When you are... at the last play of your season, and you need somebody to stop Jordy Nelson from catching the ball.
Oh,
you
Chris
put
Conte,
Chris Conte on him, and he will not understand what the play was and go the wrong direction, because that's literally what happened. He did not know what the play was, and he ran forward and didn't realize that, no, I was not supposed to do that.
Drew Brees, Cam Newton, and Matt Ryan are going to have so much fun messing with this guy.
I mean, that's the thing, though. There's a big question mark here of, I mean, I know it's Lovie Smith, and I'm sure he's going to be saying pretty soon, Chris Conte is my safety. But
because they don't have to say Jameis Winston is my quarterback.
No, we all know Jameis Winston's a quarterback. But does he really think that is an answer at all? I've experienced Chris Conte. All right, I know what Chris Conte is.
Well, you went through it being a
Bears fan. I know
the
man, the myth, the legend.
Bear down, Chicago
and
Bears.
You know what? Tampa Bay, feel free. If you want more first-round picks, more, you know, high picks, just let him play. You don't want to play all the positions on defense. Because he's Chris Conte, and he'll get you that first overall pick again. I just can't do it.
You can't have Chris Conte... being out there?
The closest I've ever been to literally can't evening is happening
can't
right
evening.
Now.
Well, it's good, though, because He's probably not going to be the starter.
He can't be.
He's probably going to be the backup behind, do you know who?
Well, they got the former lost.
Bear. The former Bear.
Former Bear. You're not talking
former
about.
Former Bear. Drafted in, I'll give you a hint. Drafted in 2010, third round.
2010? Those were all horrible picks. Why would you get that?
He went to
Major
Florida.
Right.
Major Wright.
Yes. But why
right
would
now
you...
he's listed on the depth chart behind Major Wright.
All those picks at the end for the Chicago Bears were bad. All of them. I mean, that's just a horrible combination. I feel bad for Bucks fans right now.
I'm
more
looking,
so than I
I'm
did
I'm honestly looking at this defense, and behind, besides maybe McCoy, Spence, and Melton, screw the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the linebackers, I don't see any that I'm excited about. Maybe Carter, Bruce Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Werner and Werner...
That's about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, this defense, Lovie Smith, I know he's a defensive guy, but this defense doesn't scare me.
Not at all.
Not
no.
at all. And I mean, you have a rookie quarterback where I don't even care if you think Jameis Winston's going to be bad like I think, good like Mark thinks. It doesn't matter. You have a rookie quarterback. Because Mike Glennon, he's not going to start.
Oh, no. No, no, not at all. Let's just remember that last year there was a quarterback battle between Josh McCown and Mike Glennon. How funny is that? That's hilarious. That's a joke right mm-hmm. there. And now Jameis Winston comes in, has that job locked up. The one thing that Winston has, of course, Safarian Jenkins, that's a good deal.
Mike Evans.
Yeah, it's Mike Evans. Mike Evans is the one
well,
thing
got
he has.
Vincent Jackson.
He does. He does have Vincent Jackson, but Vincent Jackson hasn't impressed anybody in quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Evans is pretty much all there is. I mean, Doug Martin, what happened to the muscle
hamster?
I
was just going
to
say. He's my most important player for the Bucs this season.
He has to show
because
up.
Because you need a running back behind Jameis Winston
mm-hmm.
because Bobby Rainey can have a good game. Trust me, I know I picked him up in fantasy after that huge one. He's too hit or miss, though. He's either really good or not good at all.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, I mean, Doug Martin needs to be the Doug Martin before he got injured. And, I mean, that's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Here's my biggest concern about Jameis Winston. He has the talent to make any throw. And this is coming from a Winston hater. He does have the talent to make any throw in this league.
Yeah.
However, is he able to always do the things like be smart enough to protect the ball, maybe not go for this throw? I mean, he kind of is like a Brett Favre gunslinger, but doesn't have the talent of Brett Favre.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, and it is kind of something to be nervous about because the defensive schemes that he's going to see are so much better than he saw in college.
Lovie, for most of the time in Chicago, had fucking I'm going deep as your quarterback.
Yeah.
Unleash the dragon, baby. Rex Grossman.
You have to unleash the dragon.
Sexy Rexy.
But, I mean, for Jameis Winston, it's going to be a lot more difficult.
Just fly routes all the time. Just Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson just fly.
I mean, that's Lovie Smith's style of offense out there.
All day, every day.
And I think that Jameis Winston has to be very concerned because...
Should he be concerned or should Bucs fans be concerned?
No, he should be concerned because for a while, Lovie Smith thought that Devin Hester was a number one wide receiver. He thought Devin Hester would be a wide receiver. And you Atlanta Falcons fans are sitting there right now thinking, hey, Devin Hester's good on our team.
No, he's a return man on their team.
Yeah, exactly. He's not a wide receiver on your team. Yeah, in the preseason, he catches some balls.
Yeah, but that's because he has to play.
That's in the preseason.
Just so Julio Jones and Roddy White don't get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to go through that again. right now, Jameis Winston's going, hey, I got Mike Evans out there. That's a good deal. That's as good as it's ever going to get.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to get better than Mike Evans. I know I got Vincent Jackson, too, but like I said, Vincent Jackson hasn't impressed me so much as of late. And actually, I would say that this wide receiving lineup that we have here, probably the best it's going to be for Lovie Smith. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get better. And
they're probably going to be, I'm going to just say it, they're probably going to be bottom feeders again.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot going into that.
I would not be surprised if the Bucs are another top five draft pick next year.
I can agree with that.
And then after, maybe not after next year, but the year after next, that is when, okay, let's put the hot seat on Lovey because he's not getting shit done.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Eventually,
I don't think he has too long of a leash. I really don't.
2 years. Lovey's got 2 years because, I mean, to be honest, the only reason he went to a Super Bowl is because that defense was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
The defense was awesome.
And it's, you know, it's unfortunate because this defense is not good enough.
Yeah, but it's getting there.
I don't even think this defense here is really in the getting there category. It's somewhat in the right direction.
You want to know why I feel like that may be the right thing to say?
Why is that?
Is because I feel like in Chicago, it was Lovie Smith's first head coaching job. So, of course, some players from Tampa followed him. But I just feel like now coming to Tampa, any Bear that got kicked out during the clearinghouse change this year,
yeah,
it's like, let's just get the band back together. And the problem, that is not how you build a team.
No, and the problem for that is a lot of those guys are either not that great, or past their prime anyways. I do want to say one thing before somebody yells at me in the comments. Yes, I know Vincent Jackson had a 1,000-yard season, but 1,002 yards, guys, and 2 touchdowns. I'm not impressed when it comes to what he's been able to do in the past.
We're going to move right up the standings from last year. So we're going from Tampa. We're talking about Hotlanta, the Atlanta Falcons. And some of the highlights from their free agency, they keep Corey Bierman. They keep Charles Godfrey. And other than that, Matt Bryant, the kicker, they kept him. Their key free agent signings, Adrian Claiborne from the Buccaneers, Justin Durant from the Cowboys, and they lose Dwight Lowry to the Colts. Sean Witherspoon is now with the Cardinals, and Harry Douglas and Massaquoi are now with the Tennessee Titans.
Love that Massaquoi.
This is a team, though, for me, that it's what we talked about. I can't remember if it was last. I think it was a year ago. It was last offseason. We had the podcast where we talked about the best wide receiver corps in the NFL. Yep, that's what this team is. You have Roddy White. You have Julio Jones. To me, now that Brandon Marshall is no longer in Chicago, this is the best one.
Brandon Marshall, who is ranked one of the highest, the second highest wide receiver in Madden.
This is the best one.
I just want to throw that out there.
However, the running game, is it Freeman that's going to be the guy? Is it Smith that's going to be the guy? Is it going to be third-round pick Tevin Coleman? I mean, they add Jalen Collins, the cornerback. They add Vic Beasley.
Which are two great picks.
They add some stuff on defense. And we also have to throw out there, because I haven't said it yet, Dan Quinn's the head coach now. What is he going to do year one? Revamp the defense. That's what he's going to do.
And I like, if we remember the Atlanta Falcons in Hard Knocks, almost forgot the name of the show, which I'm really excited about.
Did you find out who Hard Knocks is this year?
No, I haven't really looked that hard.
Found out today it's the Texans.
Nice. That'll actually be kind of fun to watch.
We get to see Houston. And then I said to myself, man, I wish we would have known this like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
when we talked about the AFC South.
That's right. But the one thing I remember most about that Hard Knocks with the Atlanta Falcons was them saying, hey, people don't think we're tough. We need to go out there and prove that we're a tough team.
Mike Tice said that a lot.
Yeah, and what happened? They did not prove they were a tough team, and now Tice is gone.
However, Mike Tice would say that, though. No, I'm talking Tice.
Okay, you're talking
Tice was there, too. He was like the O-line coach or something. And because I remember him just because he used to be a coach on your team, used to be the head coach of my team. I just thought to myself, man, does Tice swear a lot?
Yeah, he did.
Swears a lot. And he like calls people names. And I was like, okay. It kind of feels like we're getting a little over the top here, Ticey. A little bit over the top.
Oh, definitely. It was fun, though, watching him. So that's the kind of things that makes Hard Knocks more fun. But, I was thinking, of course, of Mike Smith losing his job.
The head coach.
Because they did not prove that they were tough. And they go even further in that direction of, hey, let's get the best defensive mind we can get in here to prove that we are tough. And I love Vic Beasley. I love Jalen Collins. You know, I think those are two great rookies who are going to be around for a long time.
Collins, to me, is either going to be the third or second on the depth chart. He's either going to play behind Trufant or along on the other side with Trufant. I mean, of course, they got Alford, Robert Alford, as right now listed as the second cornerback on the depth chart. But you say Vic Beasley, they bring in Claymore. And the thing I like about that is, boom, there's your two sides of the end.
Yeah.
I mean, Clayborn in Tampa didn't have that great of a year last year, but he's looking for a fresh start in Hotlanta. Get the young rookie on the left, Claiborne on the right. Your goal is to get to Cam, get to Winston, get to Breeze.
And to talk about those guys, to the depth that they're kind of creating in Atlanta right now for the defense, this year it's perfect for it. Atlanta Falcons, even though, you know, a lot of people are going to be down on them, I think they kind of have a chance to be the sleeper team, especially in a fairly weak division, because their schedule is so easy.
Not just that. The one thing you got to think of is Dan Quinn's coming in, and he's saying, well, I got to revamp this defense. You can come in and totally focus on the defense because you have Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, whatever running back. You just, whatever running back works, if it's Freeman, Coleman, Smith, good. Just stick with whoever works.
Oh, yeah.
And you got a team. And you got Matthews that they drafted, I want to say, 2 years ago, offensive line help. It's just this defense that needs a direction. And Dan Quinn's going to come in and say, so I did in Seattle, and boom, show him the ring. Say, hey, I could have had two of these if they fucking run the ball on the 1 yard line.
So this time we're going to run the ball. Give me a running back.
He's like, I can make that call now because I'm the head coach.
He can. I look down at the schedule here, and we're not going to talk about it too much.
Yeah.
You can check out the preview, the actual Atlanta Falcons video that we have on YouTube for that.
I believe I had that one.
But yeah, you do. The Eagles, Cowboys, and the Colts. I mean, those are your tough games, and those are really tough games. But the rest of them, because your division's fairly easy, you get to play the Giants, you get to play the 49ers. The Vikings will be a little more difficult, but nothing crazy.
And at least they have that one at home.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so this schedule for the Atlanta Falcons, it's not easy necessarily, but it leans to your favor. It really does.
I don't know what the win-loss is going to be because I have to calculate it a little bit. But just looking at the games, if I see this schedule, and you've had a while to look at the schedules now, but you see first four games, Philly, New York, the Giants, Dallas, Houston, not a really good stretch. Philly, Dallas, like you said, are good. Houston, who we talked about 2 weeks ago in the AFC South preview, New York is but New York is so inconsistent that they can be good.
That's a fair assessment. I think the one thing that the Atlanta Falcons are going to have over the Texans is, even though the Texans defense is better, but the Atlanta Falcons defense is very good, where they will get turnovers. And that's what will harm the Texans, because the Texans are going to have a lot of trouble scoring points.
I will say this. Both games against Tampa, Atlanta-Tampa games.
Jameis Winston throws five interceptions.
He averages more than two interceptions a game in those two.
I definitely can agree with that.
He's going to throw at least two against, and I wouldn't be surprised if Trufant has both of them, because Trufant is a ball hawk.
Yeah, and I mean, when you with them just adding depth back on that defense is what we're going to love to see, because it doesn't matter in this case. They're setting up a position where they can go up against a team like Green Bay, a team like the Patriots or the Colts, who are going to throw four or five wide receivers at you, spread you out, and say, have fun. Teams like the Atlanta Falcons are saying, we will have fun. We got the guys to do it.
I kind of feel like they have a great chance to win the division, not only because of
they only have to get to 8-8.
Not only because of how many wins they have to get, the talent they have on this team, the new direction that they'll have under Dan Quinn on defense, but this is the division we usually say, okay, whoever won it last year is not winning it the year after. So that kind of, and we'll get to the Panthers in a little bit, but Panthers are already, just don't even have them winning it because they're not gonna.
Although the Panthers did get two in a row, so congrats to the Panthers. So they do get that, you know, claw up everybody. But is there anything else you want to talk about with the Atlanta Falcons?
Not really. How about moving right up to the Saints?
Perfect.
We've got the biggest thing the Saints did this offseason. They kept Mark Ingram. Then they added a Brandon Browner from New England. They keep Shane Grand, the place kicker.
You got to get to the biggest thing they didn't do.
Pierre Thomas.
And Jimmy Graham.
And Jimmy Graham. They traded Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
For a center.
They didn't keep
him. Kruger for that, but they picked up from the Bears, Josh Morgan. They re-signed a lot of guys. Like I said, Ingram, Graham. They re-signed Bryce Harris, Raymond Humber, Luke McCown, not Josh McCown, Luke McCown. But they let some key guys go, like Meacham, Pierre Thomas. They let Kadet go to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And also, C.J. Spiller is probably going to be their backup running back.
Which is interesting.
C.J. Spiller, the killer illa.
I'm very interested to see how that works out with this team. Because Ingram and Spiller are two completely different running backs. So that could work.
It kind of reminds me what, I don't want to say the Eagles. I would say more of what, it kind of reminds me what the Chargers were doing. With, I want to say it was LT Darren Sproles, where LT was the main back. He could do anything. You can go up the middle to the outside. Sproles was more that return specialist, swing out for the screen pass. That's what I think they'll use Spiller. Use him in situations, kind of like Pierre Thomas, where you got to get his speed. Get him open and let him use that speed to kill.
For sure. And, you know, obviously you still have Drew Brees, who...
one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, and really kind of forgotten about a lot for a guy who consistently has, like, the highest yards thrown per season.
And before we forget to mention their top two picks, both first-rounders at 13 and 31, Andres Pete, offensive lineman, then inside linebacker Stephon Anthony out of Clemson. And they also drafted, he probably won't play, she got Drew Brees, but Colorado State quarterback, third rounder, Garrett Grayson.
Mm-hmm. Which will be interesting to see how that goes if they stash him in the third spot, because he's not going to be the backup. If they try and practice squad that guy.
My big thing, though, is what are you going to do without Jimmy Graham? I know you felt like you had to trade him. You traded him for, I believe it was a first rounder, and then Unger was... Uh-huh. Who you got the center to try to protect Breeze,
you need, obviously.
Now this puts the pressure for me on Colston, on Cooks, on even Josh Morgan, who will probably be the third wide receiver.
Which is very unfortunate.
On this team, or Joseph Morgan. They got two J Morgans. Joseph Morgan, not Josh Morgan, will be the third. One of them is going to be the third receiver on this team. Either way,
you're not excited in any way, shape, or form.
And I feel like the main thing of this Saints offense, and Saint fans, you can disagree with me, I kind of encourage it, is run the football with Ingram. Just have a philosophy of, we're just going to run the football and let Breeze do his thing when we have to pass it. But I feel like the Saints, you don't have to say this because... I mean, Sean Payton knows what he's going to do.
Uh-huh.
It's just they had a bad break last season.
Yeah, they did. I kind of think that when it comes to the New Orleans Saints, the problem is you do have Drew Brees. So you want to rely on Drew Brees, and you want to let him just be who he is, which is, you know, the quarterback that will just throw all over everybody. I don't think they're in the best position to make that work without Graham. And maybe some people out there think that we are overselling Graham's value to this team, but I disagree completely. I don't think we can undersell it enough. It's a huge piece that's missing, and I mean literally a huge piece. So I don't know how they're going to completely get through that. I think you have to kind of change a lot of your strategies and a lot of your philosophy on offense to make that work. But what they've been doing, because that is a safety blanket right there for Drew Brees, they're shoring up the offensive line saying, hey, it doesn't matter that we don't have this guy because we have enough time for our wide receivers to get open now, something that Drew Brees has been lacking for a while. So Drew Brees is a very smart, very strong-armed quarterback. Just give him time. Give him time. People will get open. He will throw them open if he has to.
And I mean, one of the huge things that I mean, I'm trying to think about how I want to word this. Most people may be thinking, not maybe seriously, but in some sort of way, maybe saying, well, huh, I should pick the Saints to go to the Super Bowl.
No, why would you do that?
Do you know why I'm saying that?
No, I don't.
Because of the guy, the good luck charm, apparently, because he only played 8 games in 13, 9 games last year, but he's back-to-back Super Bowl winner, Brandon Browner. That's true. 13 with the Seahawks, won it last year with the Patriots, comes over to the Saints. I love this pickup on the defensive side of the ball, but you know there's got to be some people that are superstitious, like, yeah, they may be able to be lucky enough to make it now because they got this guy who should have lost last year.
Yeah, this guy I don't know about.
You don't know about Brandon Browner?
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not
most
talking
people
to you,
are.
Mark. I'm talking to you. You don't know about Brandon Browner? Go get yourself educated, listeners. But he is going to help out the secondary because the defense, to me, is just bleh. There's no, like, Hawthorne, maybe Spencer, Vaccaro, and Browner are, to me, the sexy names that jump off the page.
For sure. So, I mean, it'll be interesting with the Saints. I mean, I think personally, not much changes in this division. The Saints, the Falcons, and the Panthers are all battling it out for that number one spot. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in the division.
Whoever just does better.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Pretty much. And I think this comes down to another one of those, 9-7 teams that gets in. I really think that's what it's going to come down to. But I'm excited about this next team.
You are. You want to get to...
I want
to
claw up,
You want to claw up, baby. And I will say, Carolina had some losses. They had Jarrett Boykins going from... Or no, Boykins went from Green Bay to the Panthers. I misread that. They had Greg Hardy go from them to Dallas. D'Angelo Williams leaves for Pittsburgh. Byron Bell is now in Tennessee. And then they had Horace Miller, James Dockery, going to the Raiders. And besides that, the key guys they signed, Dixon, Edwards, you have Colin Cole coming over, free agents signing over, Boykins, you have Kurt Coleman, Ted Ginn Jr., Jonathan Martin, who is cut by the San Francisco 49ers. And to me, I want to come in and say, team to beat in the NFC South. But part of me says, wait.
There is no team to beat.
There is no team. You're right. And it's all just it's going to be a dogfight.
Oh, yeah.
Excluding the
Like
Bucs.
I said, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in the division. They exist.
The way I'm...
They're just not doing anything.
I'm going to use this analogy to describe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are the younger brother that's just happy their three older brothers lets them hang around with them.
I'd say that's fair. That's pretty fair.
Lets them participate. Lets them be a part of the group. They're just happy to be at the table playing poker. They don't have any money. They're just happy to be at the table.
Yeah, and I think Tampa Bay fans are going to be in for yet another rough one for sure.
I will say, though, I do like their first two draft picks. And this is Claw Up Nation, Carolina. Shaq Thompson, linebacker, / kind of secondary man, defensive back out of Washington. And then Devin Funchess, wide receiver / tight end out of Michigan.
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be fun. And, you know, they got Cam Newton. And I think the thing we got to remember with Cam Newton is he has never really had.
They also have Joe Webb.
Steve Smith excluded. He's never really had a solid wide receiver to throw to.
But that's where
What they're trying to do. Well, They got Funchess, they got Benjamin.
Funchess is on the other side. Ted Ginn Jr. to me is an interesting one because he hasn't really proved himself.
Yeah.
But really they're trying to say, Benjamin's your guy. Who can we bring around? They're bringing I kind of feel like the Boykins thing is kind of like what Green Bay has done, where it's like, it's almost like a wide receiver by committee, but Jordy Nelson is pretty much the guy. Pretty much the guy in Green Bay.
Oh, without a doubt.
And they're just trying to fill a ton of names on these wide receivers and going, you're all here. You all may catch the ball. Benjamin's the guy. Let's go play.
For sure. You guys, it's like it's like when you're playing basketball, you know, in high school, and they're saying, all right, all of
get
you
the
run
ball
around,
to Tucker.
Get the ball to the tall one.
Get the ball to Tucker.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to shoot because he's the only one that can score a basket. And that's pretty much what this comes down to. I think that it upsets me for the Carolina Panthers because Cam Newton is never going to play as well as he should because he never has the help he needs out there. And the defense was phenomenal a couple years ago. Still is a good, really solid defense, but it's not going to be the defense that basically wins you the season.
Can I ask you something?
Uh-huh.
We talked about with Lovie Smith getting the band back together was the analogy that I used with Bears fans, our Bear players,
yes,
going to Tampa Bay. What are your thoughts, because you're the Bear guy,
uh-huh,
Charles Tillman coming back to play for Ron Rivera?
You know,
he's on this team.
Yeah, I find it very interesting. It's not what I would have expected.
I thought he was going to go to Tampa.
Oh, me too, for sure.
But he goes to Carolina to play with Riverboat Ron.
And you know what? I think Tillman has earned whatever he wants. He's the kind of guy where anything that Tillman wants, Tillman should get.
He was injured. Was it last year or the year before? He was injured for most of the year.
Last year, the year before that, the year before that. He's basically been injured always.
It's his knee, right?
For everything you can remember.
Yeah, the 2012 was his last 16-game season.
Yeah, he's fallen apart, which is, you know, not that surprising. I mean, he's had quite the career. He's a very physical player and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a great guy to have in the locker room. I joke about him being a cheerleader every now and then because he spends most of his time on the sidelines.
I would upgrade him to coach, assistant coach.
Sure, sure.
Because at least he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, he really is just, you're kind of just getting a glorified
cheerleader.
Yeah, and you're getting a guy who's going to be out there making the kind of backups and the younger guys a little bit better, showing them the way it should be done because he's class act. Without a doubt, he's a class act. He is the prime example of what Lovie Smith wanted in Chicago with Jerry Angelo. The good guy who's going to be in Chicago, who's going to make a difference in Chicago. That's what the Carolina Panthers have with Charles Tillman. Is he going to play more than five games? Probably not. He's probably going to play a game. It's probably what you're going to get out of him.
And
But he will peanut punch a ball for you while he's out there.
It took us so long to get to this point, but we joked earlier about the fake defensive player in the NFC of the year, Chris Conte.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Carolina has the real defensive player of the year in the NFC, Luke Kuechly.
Oh,
got him. You got Kuechly, and then now on the weak side, you're putting Shaq Thompson next to him. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to see what that does. You have, Star Latuile. You have Kony Ile, and I'm waiting for this team to show us you were better than 7-9. Show us
7-9-1.
7-9-1. Show us you were better. 7-8-1,
I think is what it was.
Whatever. Show us you were a positively 500 team.
Show us that you deserve to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's not like when
you just happened to get in
when the Rams had to play the Seahawks, and the Seahawks got in at 7-9.
Yeah.
Show us that you're not that.
To be fair, though, I mean, we're comparing to that, but 7-8-1 is worse than 7 because you tied.
Because you tied.
You tied. You can tie?
Hey, yeah, Donovan McNabb, I didn't know you could tie. I just thought you kept playing.
You probably
kept
playing should.
Until someone wins.
Don't
Who did
tie.
They tie against? The Bengals.
Yep.
They tied against the Bengals.
Both those teams that tied got into the playoffs, though. So maybe they're on to something.
You
want to
know what's funny, though?
Huh.
Is they tied, and then they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row.
Yeah, that's good.
They lost 6 of their 8 games right after that tie.
But
and then had to win 4 to get in.
You got in the playoffs. Yeah, you got in the playoffs, so that's cool. Way to go. This division, if I can really bring it down real quick.
Everyone said, and this is the kind of go off what I think you're going to say. Everyone says, like, in every preview we've done, this is going to be the most competitive division. This one is just because of how big of a dogfight it's going
to
be.
Oh, well, I mean, it's really easy to be competitive when everyone's fighting for 500, right? I mean, I don't want to be too mean on this team, but the highest win total I can give any of these teams is like 9.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like your best case scenario for most of these teams.
I think I have the Falcons with a little more. I think they can be a positive 9-win team. Just, but you said the schedule's easy for
the
them.
I mean, for any of these teams, if they get they can do it.
They don't have to play the NFC West or AFC West like the North.
They don't play any difficult divisions, pretty much is what it comes down to. I mean, they play their own division, which is just going to be a toss-up.
That's where the dogfight comes in.
But that's the kind of situation, too, where let's say, I'm just going to throw the Saints out there. Let's say the Saints are just looking really good, and they get the number, and they sweep the division. Well, okay, now we have a team who's double-digit win because the rest of it is so much easier. Of course, then that's going to be a team that gets in the playoffs and probably gets beaten down, you know, kind of like the Bengals typically do. But, sorry, I just had to throw the Bengals under the bus for a little bit.
The Bungles?
Yeah, the Bungles. Just as the team that isn't quite at the caliber yet happens to get there all the time. But I just think that this division is going to be tougher later on. Lovie Smith probably should go at some point. I don't think he's going to do much for you Tampa Bay fans.
Can I ask this then, since you threw out that about Lovie Smith? Do you think Ron Rivera hits the hot seat in a few years or sooner rather than later?
You think that he probably... Well, I don't want to...
Because really this division's interesting. Sean Payton's protected by the Super Bowl.
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, he didn't get fired through Bounty Gate. He's never going to get fired.
Dan Quinn is new. Then you have Ron Rivera, who, to me, I feel like the team could be a lot better than they are, but they did make the playoffs.
Yep.
And then you just have the shit show, which is the Lovie Smith blanks.
The thing I'll say about Ron Rivera, I don't put the blame on him because a lot of the problems that the Panthers have are personnel problems, and that's not the coach's decision. I mean, you're not Chip Kelly, you're not Bill Belichick, you're not Pete Carroll. You don't make those decisions necessarily. I mean, it's unfortunate. He probably will get the blame, but Cam Newton needs to throw the ball to somebody. Yes, you gave him Calvin Benjamin, and that's awesome. You're giving him Funches now, which is good. You're going in the right direction, but you traded Steve Smith. Steve Smith, who was the only guy that Cam Newton threw the ball to. He was Mr. Reliable out there. He was the spark on that team. And then how do you reward him after getting to the playoffs finally? You say, all right, see you later.
You let D'Angelo Williams walk. I mean,
the tandem that everybody has been so used to for forever.
But to be honest, they weren't producing. It might. I don't blame them for letting Williams walk. Smith walking was, you can say it was horrible. A locker room issue, but he's the best wide receiver on your team.
Yes, exactly. And he was you can say it was a locker room issue, but he's fired that team up. People
could you imagine
that.
If we were talking right now, Benjamin and Smith, boom, division winners, hand it to him.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's 10, 11 wins. I mean, I don't want to put the blame on Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera probably will get the blame, and if it goes badly, we'll probably get fired. Because they're not going to get rid of Cam Newton. Cam Newton's their guy.
Oh, no. They just gave him a ridiculous contract.
Yeah, exactly. He's their guy. They've settled that already. I mean, Ron Rivera's the one who they can get rid of.
Yeah, because Newton's the face.
Yeah, the problem is Ron Rivera's a good coach, but he can only work with so much. And he's been doing what he can. You know, he's gotten them to the playoffs twice in a row. One time with a good record, the other time with a, 7-win record.
Hey, John Fox got him there with Jake DeLome.
Yeah. Hey. Coaches can only do so much. And John Fox, he got into Super Bowl, didn't win that Super
Jake
Bowl.
Jake DeLome.
Yeah, didn't win that
Super
Bowl.
I mean, he ran into the buzzsaw, which was Tom Brady and Belichick and the Patriots.
Yeah. Coaches can only do so much with what they got. The personnel needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what it comes down to for the Panthers.
How about you give me this, how we end each preview.
Mm-hmm.
Who wins the division? How many teams from this division make the playoffs?
So the team that wins this division, and I go back and forth on this probably every single day, but I want to claw up, and I want to claw up so hard.
I'm doing the claw up.
But I can't do it. It's going to be none other than the Atlanta Falcons.
What? We agree on something for once?
Atlanta Falcons are going to win the division.
How many wins?
Probably nine
okay.
to seven.
Okay. I'm not going to give you an exact response because I don't have my computer in front of me. I'm Atlanta 2. I think 10 or 11 wins is what they can end with. I forget what I said exactly. Like I said, I'm not using my computer for this podcast. They're the only team, though, that makes the playoffs from this division in my mind.
Oh,
they are
a doubt.
The only ones because, to me, I honestly feel like either the North, East, and West, they're going to have the two. Mm-hmm. They're going to, it's either going to be Cowboys, Eagles, Eagles, Cowboys, Seahawks, and Cardinals are the two that I can see going from there, or Packers, Vikings, Packers, Lions. Either one of Packers and pick one of those two teams. That's the combinations that I can see going on. So I don't see Carolina or New Orleans getting anywhere. I kind of feel like Tampa Bay is going to be a top five pick in next year's NFL draft. That's how bad they are going to do. And I don't know. I think the Falcons, if they make the playoffs, and I mean this is without any exact matchups, how far do you think they would go theoretically?
Probably first round. I think they're probably knocked out.
Knocked out in the wild card? Wild card,
yeah. They have an opportunity to get to the divisional.
I'm going to say
but they're not getting past that.
Hypothetically, I'm going to say divisional just because they would get that wild card home game.
Mm-hmm.
If they were the wild card team on the road, then but I'd say out.
You know,
the
hard thing is for the Falcons, it's going to depend on who they're playing. Are they going to play the Bengals? Are they win by
not
default?
The Bengals. The Cowboys.
AFC. Yeah.
Are they going to play the Cowboys?
If they have to play a Cowboys or okay. Eagles, they're going to lose.
Or what about this isn't going to happen, but mm-hmm. just
if
work
they play
with me
a,
here.
If they play
wait,
a Vikings.
Wait. No, 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 no.
That's a win. No. They can win them against
no, wait,
the Vikings.
Wait. What if they play like the Packers because somehow the Lions win the division?
Mm.
They're not going to beat the Packers because the Packers, even though they're a wild card team, are almost Super Bowl champions. But, like they're Super Bowl favorites.
But let me say one thing about that. If you remember what I said earlier in this podcast, the Falcons are setting themselves up to be the teams that can go against Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
True.
They've got the depth. In the safety and
Dan
the quarterback.
Dan Quinn's defenses have never lost to the Packers.
Yeah, they beat Aaron Rodgers. They've got his number. I'm not saying that the Atlanta Falcons are going to beat the Packers because they're not set up yet.
I'm just saying if it's a matchup like that, I don't know if they get out.
I'm not going to sure thing that thing yeah. to Aaron Rodgers.
But that is going to do it for our NFC South preview. I want you guys to tell me down below in the comment section what you thought of anything we talked about today with the teams. Who do you think is going to win the division? How many playoff teams do we have from the NFC South? Also, if we didn't mention anything, let us know what we missed down below in the comments. If you're listening to this on YouTube, if you liked it, hit the like button. If you loved it, please hit that subscribe button. It really helps out. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, please follow our SoundCloud page. You can be up to date with all of our podcasts. Make sure, link down in the description, you join our fantasy football league. Mark, tell them a little bit about what we're doing here.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to play some fantasy football. We're going to see who the best minds are.
It's going to be me.
Between
it's going to be me.
The onside kick, and we're also going to get the primetime podcast in on this. They're going to have some fun, too. They think they know about the rookies, but we're going to see if they know about the rookies. Primetime podcast, of course, is our college football, basketball podcast. So that's a good one too. You can check that out as well.
So that's going to do it for the onside kick this week. I want to thank everyone for checking us out. Follow me at Ricky Widmer, Mark Weber at the with two E's Mark Weber. Most Valuable Podcast is Most Valuable Pod. Thank you again. Can't say it enough for checking us out this day, evening, whatever it is. However, as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.